An Act of Treachery, written by Anne Widdecombe and read by Carol Boyd.
Prologue, Berlin, 1961. All day we have watched them, building that great, cold, cruel wall, stone by stone, coil of barbed wire by coil of barbed wire. And as it has grown, so has our despair. We menace them with our hatred, our eyes boring into their distant forms. But inexorably they build, build, build a wall, not to keep their enemies out, but to keep their own citizens in, a wall to imprison free men and women. Kurt got out in the last wave of refugees, carried in a blanket by two young women, strangers whom he had not seen before nor since, who took pity on him as he crawled on his hands and the half of the one leg the war had left him. When we can leave Berlin, he will come to stay with us for a while, until he has traced his sister, who preceded him to the west. We're sitting in a small, overcrowded, dingy cafe, drinking ghastly coffee, and watching, mesmerized, although there is a chill now in the air, and soon it will be too uncomfortable to stay. We are hungry, but somehow it seems indecent to eat, callous to go, an act of desertion to turn our backs on that determined, deadly activity. Germany now appears completely divided, families cut off from each other. For how long? Forever? Will the West act? America? Britain? When I suggest it, Kurt mentions Poland and Hungary and predicts that the West will express outrage but do nothing. Unhappy, morose, helpless, he orders more coffee, which none of us will enjoy and none wants. The sound of a brief protest reaches us, a minor disturbance, ineffectual, angry, token, heartfelt. Willy stands up and stretches, reluctant to stay and reluctant to go. He takes the handles of Kurt's ramshackle wheelchair, which he bullied, bribed, and cajoled to obtain, and I stand too, gathering up my handbag and blue lace gloves, which Mutti gave me for Lottie's wedding. As we prepare to leave the cafe, I look back, not at the table we have left, nor the wall they are building, nor the small knots of angry, weeping people, but at the two girls. They too have been watching all day from a room on the second floor of a house near the cafe. Sometimes they have looked out together, leaning over the window ledge for a better view, a more certain angle, and sometimes one has looked and described the scene to the other. They must be about 13 and 15, and as they have watched the building of the wall and the goings-on in the streets, so I have watched them. One has long fair hair and the other a modish permanent wave, and I know exactly the mixture of fear, excitement and wonder they feel. I know that one moment they are filled with dread and the next with the excitement of witnessing a major event in history, that they are fascinated as well as repelled, that they want to play a role in the drama unfolding before them, even as they yearn for the stability and security of a childhood in which the grown-ups were always in control, capable of meeting any challenge. I know that they want to crush the oppressor and receive the thanks of grateful compatriots, that they imagine themselves heroines of a resistance movement. They hate the oppressor, want to shoot him, humiliate him, hear him beg for mercy, see him wet himself. And they are fascinated by him, want to know him, like him, love him, share victory with him. I know, because 21 years ago I too was 15, with long fair hair, and I leaned out of a window with my sister and watched a conquering army from another Germany, in another age, as the Nazis marched into Paris.